What's going on, crazy world? Welcome to another episode of the Black Sheep Perspective. Today, I got a guest of mine who's not a close friend, a homegirl of mine that I really wanted to get to know a whole lot better that I never had the chance to. She's a jiu-jitsu black belt. She has a very intriguing story of how the route that life took her. And I knew nothing of it until you happened to just do a quick interview for a jiu-jitsu tournament prior to the jiu-jitsu tournament, I guess part of the promotion.
No, it was actually after.
Was it after? Yeah. Okay, so they asked you guys to tell them a story of how your life led them to jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah, Kenny is a jiu-jitsu black belt that I've seen for years. He's done tutorials on jiu-jitsu. So I had known him, and he had done an interview with one of my really close friends who's a black belt at Agama Filio with me. And they had done an interview. And so I was with Carlitos at the competition for Gi Pan Ams. And Kenny was there, and he asked to do the interview.
As a black belt, as a new black belt,
as
by the way.
A
ginormous congratulations, by the way. I have to point that out to people because I have a client, a friend of mine. She's a friend of mine now, Claudia. You know, her brother just got his black belt. I think maybe about like 6 months ago or so. And when she mentioned it, yeah, and when she mentioned it, she's like, oh yeah, yeah, Wes, el hermano mio, by the way, he was all happy. Yes, he was all very happy yesterday. I go like, he got his black belt or whatever. I don't know. It was supposed to be like a big deal, whatever. I'm like, hey, don't do that. Don't you brush that off like that. I go, your brother got a black belt? She's like, yes. I'm like, bitch, do you know how fucking, do you know what that is? That's a doctoral degree.
That's why I got it, because I went to college when I was very young. And so I realized that a 11 year term of learning jiu-jitsu is more impressive than a master's. Master's you can get in 6 to 8 years.
Right.
Medicine doctors are a little more impressive. They study for like 15 years sometimes.
Plus, not to downgrade the education, but
no,
you're talking about education by itself, and then you're talking about education through physicality, through fucking threatening situations.
Not just that, but for me, it's huge the mentorships that you get to have in jiu-jitsu.
Right.
The people you get to know and the people you get to be in the room
network.
With,
yeah, man. It's
just to be in the room with. It's like, again, I was raised really religious. My dad was a pastor. So jiu-jitsu is very similar to church. You're getting around with a bunch of people. You're being extremely real with each other because you're fighting. You're getting open and vulnerable, and like you're going for each other's throat. You're trying to kill each other.
Right. Essentially. Yeah.
Like, we're going to simulate murder and then tap.
Right.
Be friends. And so you get, when you're in danger, your personality comes out. You're like who you are. You know?
So in this little interview, what you said, and it was a quick fire thing, but you know, you mentioned that you had a lot of travels in your early years as a young person because your dad was involved in the, I don't want to say it the wrong way. Missions.
Yep.
Okay. As a Christian.
Yeah, he was the pastor of Vineyard Churches.
And you said that was a big organization in the West Coast?
It grew.
Okay.
I think when my dad started with it was pretty small. He was under Robert Owens in Reno, Nevada. And so he was a missionary and a pastor from this organization. And my dad fell under him as a mentor, like in jiu-jitsu. You have black belts. And they started doing missions together. And they did it in Beijing and in Mexico and in North Korea, Russia. My dad tells stories of going to Russia and like giving sermons in front of thousands of people, which for me as a kid, my dad was this cool badass, like ninja, kind of. He was like conquering all these crazy odds for Jesus. I was like, whoa, that's cool. And so missions was really fun for
me. It's dope to hear a young lady, Cherie, you're 32.
31.
Oh my God, you women hate that shit, bro.
Oh my God. No, it's okay.
You're 31. And yet, you know, you're very experienced, but to see a young woman like you still taught like daddy's girl, you know, like you to hear, you remember looking at this hero of yours, yeah. Like dad was your hero.
That's so lucky.
And that's awesome,
that's
dude.
That's so lucky.
It's not heard about enough.
No,
it's not heard
but
about
it's,
enough.
It's shareable though.
Yes, like, and that's why I'm glad that you're doing that and you're saying that.
Yeah, and I loved it recently. My dad came to visit me, and watching my dad around my friends and the friends who could really just. They could value that energy in their life, that super dad.
Right.
Because he's still like that. He's a super, super cool guy who loves my mom, like adores her to a million pieces. And so to have a male figure like that in this climate is really cool.
That's true. That's very true. So you guys had unique experiences. And in that little interview, you mentioned that you were in China. You mentioned going through some rough times. You mentioned kidnapping of some sort. And then eventually had that kind of left you a little shook, little PTSD. You come back to the States. You know, a whole lot happened there. And eventually jiu-jitsu came and other things like your career right now, the awesome massage therapist that you are. And that we'll definitely circle back to that. But walk us through that experience. So you guys are going back and forth now that your dad has connected with China. And this happened through an awesome lady that you mentioned. Yeah, what was her name?
A lady named Cece Hayes.
Cece Hayes.
She did amazing work in Beijing in the 90s and 2000s, and she's still doing it now post-COVID. I think that was a little rough, but she went back, and I think she's focusing more on single mothers. But she helped take kids off the street when they were brought in from the countryside because they didn't have the right paperwork. Because in China, you're only allowed to have one kid, and there was like a lot of problems with that, with just being human. You don't always just have one kid.
Please correct me if I'm wrong. People, don't fucking murder me out there. Didn't they just change the rule very recently where it's two?
I don't know what they changed it to, but I think they changed it recently.
Okay.
I haven't kept up. I'm probably not going to ever go back there.
I can imagine as we hear your story.
I would love to go back for the food, though.
Yeah, were you very fond of that? Yeah.
Anywhere in Asia, better food than you've ever tasted in the U.S. or, I'm sorry, even Latin America.
Did you?
It's better than Cuban food.
Did you allow your palate to go out there and try some wild shit? Because I mean, I know they definitely have unique other meals that we don't fuck with over here. What was something wild that you ate that you know? Whoop.
Chicken heads. The head. They garnished the dish with the chicken head on the plate, or a chicken foot. I once had a soup. It was chicken foot peanut soup. And I put my spoon.
That doesn't sound bad.
It was pretty good, but I put my soup spoon in the dish, and I brought it up, and when a chicken boils, its hand puffs up, and it looked like somebody's hand in my soup, and I was a kid. I screamed, but I ate that anyways.
Oh, I just took a weird
but
swallow
chicken feet
right
is
now.
Actually now one of my favorite foods.
Yeah, and actually, delicious. By the way, that is a Southern plate over here, and it's eaten, but I think it's eaten differently, though, the way they do it.
There's tons of different good recipes for
it. Right, that's true.
It's like a spicy green sauce that they make that is just... nuts good. It's very good.
So you did have a lot of great experiences over there. You definitely told me that. Yeah. And you were going back and forth for a minute with travels with your dad.
So when I was with my dad, I always stayed really safe. Okay. Like obviously, because you're with your dad. But I was a pretty crazy kid. And I left Northern California for a school in Oregon when I was 16. I was always very solo traveler, which isn't always smart. And when I was 19 and I graduated, I went over there by myself off a job that I had found online. And you shouldn't take jobs in China online if you're a girl. If anybody's going to do that, find an agency in the U.S. that'll match you to an agency in the country that you want to travel to. And that's really safe. Like my dad's missionary or agency or a school agency or any kind of agency, you're going to have more protection. But I didn't do that. And I got in a bad situation. And then I had to escape that situation. But I put myself in a more vulnerable position and then got kidnapped for a little bit and then got out of that and then found the people who I did know in Beijing. Because at least I had grown up coming back and forth from Beijing, so I knew the city. I was in a place called Liang Matiao, which is like the third ring.
And if you don't mind me pausing you right there. So, you know, you had stated something when you and I were talking to you earlier on, and I've never heard it. And I know you weren't trying to be like statistically so accurate, but you mentioned about it's a lot of mob ran shit over there. There's a lot of human slave men or trafficking. I don't know. The way you described it
would be the most internationally acceptable term because it actually happens here too. That's the thing is we can fight that here and we can fight that in China. I was just exposed to it when I was young in China, so it made it a little bit more like drastic, like a juxtaposition.
Okay.
How do you say that word?
I don't know. Justice position?
No.
Oh, I don't know. You lost me on that one.
Juxtaposition.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
That's like it makes it a higher effect because there's more contrast.
Is there an X in that word?
Juxtaposition. It's a word.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyways, it was more of a juxtaposition from where I was growing up. So it made the human trafficking look more like there. What I'm saying is And it was, so statistically what happened is they had a one child policy. So because they only could claim one kid, if other kids were born outside of that, and if it wasn't a kid that could help the family, like if they had any type of problems, then they wouldn't want to register that as their one kid. So those kids don't have something called a hukou, which is a card that allows them to go to school and get a lot of rights. And so my CC's organization would help those kids get an education. So even if they didn't have a hukou, they could speak English so they could work in tourism or they could have a family or they would help them get back to the family that they, if they wanted to go back to the city that they were from, help them get money for a plane or a train ticket usually back there. And so it was just an organization helping those kids that just didn't really have a place. And they have that in the U.S. too. And that's something that I really want to go back into in the future here in the U.S. or maybe in another country.
Who knows? Is Cece still doing that, the same exact thing?
She's not doing the same exact thing. Last I heard from my dad, she's focusing on single mothers and giving them resources.
But all in China still?
Yeah, she's amazing. She speaks the best Chinese for any white lady that I've ever met. She speaks perfect Chinese. She's lived there for many years, and she's a really amazing lady who's helped so many people, and it's been really cool.
Did you maintain some of your ability to talk or at least understand Chinese?
Yeah.
And should I say Chinese or should I say Mandarin?
Mandarin.
Okay, Mandarin. Yeah.
普通话.
Whoa, don't call me that. What? 普通话. It's not like you call me a bitch-ass motherfucker.
No, I didn't call you that.
What is it?
普通话 is like the dialect of Chinese that's like popular speak. It's like so there was, I think there's 36 or 56. I'm actually forgetting the math. But there's many dialects in China. Each section of the country speaks a dialect.
Okay.
So the dialect that I speak is the Communist Party's dialect, because that's what I learned in school in China and in the U.S. And so that's 普通话.
It's very fun. That was very educational. I've never heard of that.
I think that languages are awesome, and I think that any martial artist or any person who likes to understand the world, I think they should learn multiple languages, because languages are really cool for the brain, I think. Helpful for our brains.
I know I don't want you to relive the whole thing, but I know that, you know, you got kidnapped while trying to exit this place that you just finally escaped.
Yeah.
You have what seems, what I would respectfully call a religious experiment, I don't know if you want to call it that, because I don't know that it would be considered spiritual.
I've never told anybody that story and had them call it that, a religious experience. I've never heard that about that story that I've told anybody ever. But I think that's a really perfect way to describe it.
The way when you and I spoke about this, I saw a level of it.
The way that I left that situation unharmed was a religious experience.
Why else would these guys eventually let you go?
It wasn't even just that. It was that I trusted in the power of a God so much that I didn't believe that they would, they couldn't. Like, if that was the day that God had written in the stars for me to die, I would have died. But I knew it in my gut. I was like, nah, it's not me. They don't want me. Some people have said it's because my voice is really annoying, but... I think it was just because I freaked him out. And I do think that a version of God came into that moment, or a version.
I want to try to describe a little bit of what you did. Yeah. So you said you were kind of like praying, you were saying some things, and it eventually became to some type of meditative, like you, and you felt this sway, right? You felt this energy in you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to put that out there, because I have no problem, and I told you,
think I'm crazy.
Well, I told you earlier that I don't believe, that I'm agnostic, and I don't believe in God like that, but I fuck with what you're saying in regards that you felt this energy that you were giving off, that, and even though in a scary-ass situation where you're in the back of a van with two guys watching, one guy driving, and you're almost going into some meditative, like, you guys can't touch me. You guys can't touch me. You guys are not going to fuck me. You got the wrong person. You're not going to fuck me. I'm wondering, did these guys sense the energy? Did they like, all right, we don't like this. We don't like what's going on over here. Like, this is odd. Should we keep her? Like, what, you know? I don't know. It could go either way. It really can. Is that yours or mine going off like that? I hear this phone.
Nobody's phone. I
thought that was mine. I can see it going either way. Either they got scared, especially if you were barking out a weird voice.
Not just that, but I also was pretty strong still as a kid. I wrestled with all my youth group friends and like played a lot of sports, played a lot of football. Like, I don't know if I didn't want them to fuck with me, and I wasn't in a posture of body, mind, or I just believed that they couldn't if God didn't have it like written in the stars. I was like, no, this is not the day. It doesn't have to be the day, and it wasn't. And then I was like, okay, let's fucking keep
just living. As quick as it went bad, it went good.
Well, I think that religious experience that I had, whatever it was that I felt that I realized I could trust within myself and my connection with God, or whatever you want to call it, energy, but I think it's God. Like, that ability to be in that state in any situation in life, you can have different outcomes than the statistical one. You can make yourself better than you're born. You could work every day to learn, and not just in those scary moments, but in the regular moments, be in that state, be with that that energy. And you could live your life like that. And what would life look like if you, I love the saying that love and fear can't live in the same space. So if I'm full of fear, I cannot be in with near God. If I let go of fear and I believe in that moment that anything could happen, actually, like I'm not necessarily out. And this is fun in jiu-jitsu too, because when I roll like that a little bit. I'm like, I couldn't possibly tap. But sometimes you do tap.
Right.
And it's part of the game. But you believe in yourself. You believe in yourself when somebody has your arm way behind your head or in like Kimura. You're like, okay, it's tight, but fuck it. I could figure out a way to get out of this. That is present in all of your life, mm-hmm. the good moments and the bad moments. And so focusing on that is really interesting.
So after that situation that you got left, you basically got left in the middle of Beijing, somewhere in the middle of China.
Yang Mao Tao. Yeah, no.
I tried.
I might say it wrong, but I think that's how you say
it. Eventually, you cross paths and get hired as a assistant, or basically, you were teaching her English. You were English tutor.
An English tutor.
So what happened to be a
Chinese actress?
Actress who was doing pretty damn good for herself.
Her name was Zhao Ke, and she's a really cool lady. She does like a lot of fight scenes with swords. She's a cool. Super cool lady. So again, the situation changed and it was beautiful. And I got to finish my year out there working for her and not the freaking slave factory.
That you almost got sucked into.
Thank God. And that's why I have to believe in God. Like, thank God. Like, instead of that being my life, that became my life. And in those moments in life where you have like big decisions that you need to either take a stand on, so you're going to lose some friends, or you're going to have to ruffle some feathers, it's worth being authentic and it's worth trusting in yourself and your connection with God, and that God has a plan and a purpose for, and you don't have to believe this, but I think for humans, it helps us to believe that God has a plan and a purpose for us.
Yeah. You know, I don't fuck with that. You know, I don't. Yeah, and I'm, this is why I'm glad that we spoke and we're
but
and
you
we're
brought up the detailed version of the story. So
well, yeah, no, of course, I get that.
And because that is, and it's funny that you called it that, because never have I recounted that story to someone and they call it a religious experience. You called it a religious experience, and that was the best explanation I've ever heard. And you're not even religious,
right? Because I can see where somebody would connect with that and then take it as such. You know,
that's beautiful.
I don't know. Every situation would have went differently. Every person in that situation would have handled it differently. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, yo, I would have done this and that, that, that. I don't know why these two would try to kidnap my big ass. But everybody would have done situation.
I wasn't that big. I was
what,
like.
What I wanted to say
I was
is this.
19, so I wasn't super big. But
I just don't want to challenge you or put you in a weird situation and try to explain something. But I just know that there's people out there that are thinking, but what about the people who didn't get away? Was that, did God have that in their plan? Was that God's plan for them not to get caught and whatever, you know, follows after that? That's where I, but I don't want to put anybody in that spot because I know that's not a nice spot to be to, and I'm not trying to do that to you neither. It's just, I know the question's there because it went through my head and I know others
think
are thinking
I didn't have
it.
That question?
Like, why me and not others?
Even just growing up as a missionary's kid, seeing those kids in the position that they were in, and why was I in such a privileged position? And seeing that as I was growing up,
that's true.
Already I had that question from God. I was mad at God for that for a while. I was like, how could you let these people hurt? For what? Mm-hmm. But I also studied a lot of other religions as I was in China and as I was traveling with my dad in Mexico and all these different places that I was able to go. And there's yin and yang. Mm-hmm. In heaven or in Christianity, we call it Satan and God. In Buddhism, yin and yang. In Hinduism, Shiva and Shakti. There's like this good and this bad force. And I think it comes down to in us too. We have it too. Why those people were able to do that to me or anybody is because they had that in them. They're just a human like you or me. But they had that good and evil and they picked the evil one. Like, and that's not half the world, but there's a balance between who's picking the evil and who's picking the good. And I don't know who determines what that's going to be like in the universe. But it's definitely true. There's fucked up shit. What do you want to call it? Satan or yin and yang or whatever you want to call it.
There's a lot of wild shit that I can believe in or entertain and that I want to argue with somebody. But what I don't like to, the concept that I don't like to support that I don't believe in is that everything is already destined. That like our shit's already written and like we can't change it. That I have a problem with. Like I told you earlier, I think we're all gods. We create, we destroy, we intervene, we do this, we do that, all that. We had this talk. We can rewire ourselves. We can literally rewire us. So I can't accept the fact that science and everything in the realm of science supports and borderline proves that we can continue rewiring ourselves, yet accept that no matter how many times I rewire myself, this was all written ahead of time by some deity. It just doesn't work with me.
If the script was written, but there's a Buddhist, I think, philosophy that we're born with a certain number of breaths. And so one of the reasons that they practice meditation, or I practice meditation, is because if you take space in the world, in conversation, in life, with people, in that moment you're being kidnapped, if you take a breath, if you connect that, and I believe that God, like, breathes, in a lot of religions they talk about breath and words creating life. So as soon as we are babies and born, we breathe, we go. And I think that, like, there's another saying that Hamsa is a mantra that you get in your breath from God when you're born to remind you every time you breathe that you're connected with God. And that's what I, like, I don't know about religious versions of God. I don't know if religion can comprehend God. I think it can give us direction, but I don't know if we can understand God. He's come down to earth. Anyways, but we can breathe and we can remember that we are connected to him. Like, we are God, if you want to say it that way. God is in us, and we can make decisions in those moments. We can think different thoughts than we had previously. What happens when you take a long breath in a conversation? Do it. Take a deep breath.
I just did it while you were doing it. I was just doing it very quietly.
Lift your belly. Relax into your seat. Your brain starts to think different thoughts.
Right.
And so I love, somebody very close to me said that God is art. And the thought that being with God is experiencing life like art. That to me is more religious of an experience than just going to church or just the dogmas and the sermons and the, you have to believe this is wrong and this is right.
Has it been difficult for your dad to accept that even though you have religious connections or spiritual beliefs, it's not what it used to be? And even though you had conflict in the past, it's definitely not what your dad believes. Is he cool with it now? Is he more acceptable now? Because he's older, he's traditional, you know, he was in the service. He did a lot of travels.
He wasn't in the service. He just did missionary work, and he was a construction worker.
I thought prior to that he was, my bad.
No, but he was a construction. He did construction, and he hunted a lot. He was like a cowboy.
Okay.
And he was super, super cool. He taught me a lot of construction. He did a lot of remodels and stuff while I was growing up to support the missionary stuff. Because my mom was an entrepreneur, and she had a coffee shop that is now one of the top 100 businesses on Yelp in the U.S. for restaurants.
Congrats, mom. Okay. Yaks. What's it called?
Yaks on the Five.
Yaks on the Five.
Best burgers, hamburgers. The hamburgers are all from a local ranch. Like, Prather Beef is a really amazing company that's an, anyways, super country, super cool restaurant.
Northern Oregon?
Northern California.
California, okay.
Yeah, on the border of California and Oregon, because my dad's from Mount Shasta, and then my mom was from Albany, Oregon, and they met in Nevada.
And here you are in motherfucking Miami.
And Miami's the shit.
See, it's teaching people how to breathe while staying connected.
Yeah, it's a good mix. Yeah, they mix good. They make good kids. My sister is cool too.
I'll tell you what, I definitely want to hear how it is that you fucking ended up from way over there to way the hell down here. Especially when your ass was over here fucking around with a bunch of wild animals over there in Goat Shed. The infamous Goat Shed.
That was during COVID. Nobody else was open. Everybody was being a chicken. Goat Shed, no matter the craziness that happens, people give them shit for what they do on social media. They had the funnest training environment.
It looks fun. It looks wildly fun. And I'm friends with a lot of them.
If you talk shit and you walk into the Goat Shed and want to talk shit like you're a badass, you will get whooped on camera, and it is hilarious. It is so much fun.
They got viral videos left and fucking right. It's crazy. Yeah.
I respect anybody who says that they're going to do something very ambitious, and they do it.
Yeah, and by the way, big shout out to Asim. His wife.
Laura,
you know, as partners, they're making big moves. You know, but Asim has been, you know, behind this Goat Shed thing, and now with Karate Combat, and it's just doing great.
Yeah,
that's
how I met you. Yeah, how I met you was with Gus and Roy or somebody like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Roy, but I definitely was Gus. I don't think I met Roy at that time.
It was at the UFC gym.
But shout out to all those boys. Shout out to Goat Shed and all those boys. Gus, Roy.
I think Koos is fighting this weekend. I think he's fighting. Or if it's not this weekend, it's soon. Ryan Koos, Third Street Savage.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Exciting fighter.
Yeah, yeah. He looked good on his last fight, too. He did.
Yeah.
Listen here, folks. Winners amongst us. Spring's still a couple of months away. I know you guys are feeling this cool breeze. Why don't you go to blacksheepapparel.shop and go cop you some of the dopest sweaters, hoodies, long sleeve shirts, and everything else you can imagine to make you look fly for this season. Or maybe you're just getting ready for the summer or the spring. We got shorts, we got tank tops, we got it all. Make sure you go visit blacksheepapparel.shop to get the flyest gear and to remind the world that you're a proud black sheep. Now let's get back to the podcast. Yeah, but, you know, again, big shout out to Goshen, man. A lot of big things happening, a lot of great fighters coming out of there. You know, they got a lot going on, man, and I got a lot of love for a lot of those guys. But by the way, but how the fuck did you end up there? You were Nevada-born, Oregon-raised, China bouncing back and forth, country hopping, kidnapping, and what the fuck? How did you end up in Miami, of all places?
I should have had way more fear in life than I did.
Even that's a good way of putting it. I get it.
Even after all that happened, I just decided to drive across the country for a month in my Toyota Camry. I had some camping supplies. I had an ice cooler with some chicken and carrots, usually.
Life frustrated you, though.
Yeah, life in Oregon, I had come back to deal with some stuff that was just tough family-wise, and I dealt with it, and it was really good. I learned jiu-jitsu, but, like, I never wanted – I just always had a lot of ambitions to continue, like, what my dad was doing, where he was helping a lot of people beyond just a small community, but, like, seeing the world as a – like, I love the phrase, there's a show on Netflix. I've been watching Netflix because I have been sitting more than usual.
Right, we're going to get to that.
But it says – everything in nature is connected, or nothing in nature exists alone. I think it's nothing in nature exists alone. So I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, you were talking about in regards to like leaving because you were going through certain things and you were finding an exit. Got into jiu-jitsu, but you still want to carry on your dad's way.
Well, jiu-jitsu gave me confidence because I was scared from that one situation. So when I started learning jiu-jitsu, it was the first time I was, for one, in a situation where I had really good mentors around me who lived life really fully and were authentic and brave, and they did big stuff like Carlos Zapata and Mendez Jiu-Jitsu. They're the guys that just taught the Stallone family that little jiu-jitsu special that they did. Mendez Jiu-Jitsu, which is the jiu-jitsu that I'm under in California, that's where I got my black belt and my white belt. They just taught the Stallone sisters jiu-jitsu.
I didn't know that.
So it's good jiu-jitsu that I came from, but I didn't want to stay in that specific part of the country forever.
Okay.
So it honestly just, I was in Portland one day and I was bringing home my laundry basket. I had just folded and washed laundry at a laundromat and it just started dumping rain. And for some reason I had enough. I was like, fuck it, I'm leaving again. Like, I cannot live in this place that just rained on my dry laundry. And so I packed up, I gave like a week's notice. I should have given more notice to my bosses. I had really good bosses in Portland and I burned bridges by not being sensitive and giving more time. Like, that's something I hadn't matured enough to learn how to do yet. But I left in a week and I drove across the U.S. for about 30 days. And I went to Austin and Phoenix and all the different cities.
Did you contemplate staying more permanent in any one of those places before you chose Miami? Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Every single one. I like got to the city, San Luis Obispo, all the different cities in California down. I went down the 101 and then across like on the southern border through Texas and Phoenix and Arizona. And
I did that too, but...
such a cool drive.
I was doing illegal shit.
Yeah. No, everything I was doing was pretty legal. I mean, I just didn't really have a location or destination or a home, but I had all my stuff and I had always learned how to pack light because being a missionary's kid, my dad had like always taught me how to roll my laundry and have like 7 outfits that could last you in a rotation for like months.
Yeah.
So I could pack really light and I always loved freedom.
That's something that you definitely adapted to now.
A very American, I don't know if you want to call it American trait or just, I don't know. But I always chase that.
You know, I'm going to say that we kind of danced with this a little bit ago off cam. When people have been through certain things and what those things are can vary and to what intense level can vary and the shock factor, the trauma factor, all that can vary. But when you've been through some shit, you're built different. Going back to being rewired, those things rewire you in a certain way. And some can be negative, but some of that can be positive as well. And the negative can turn into positive.
You can help like cut the bush, you know, like when you have a plant that's growing a little wonky.
Right.
You can trim off the dead leaves.
Exactly.
You can regroup it with another plant that the soil composition helps each other. Like, just because you have an experience doesn't mean you can't grow even better.
Right. But what I like to say is, because a lot of people would probably think that when you go through certain, a lot of the things that you went through. There's a lot of things.
I like how you said it. Rewired. Yeah, wired differently.
There's a list of things that if somebody broke it down, if you spoke to a fucking therapist or psychiatrist, they're gonna be like, "Whoa, well, you probably haven't, you know, escaped from this, or you've forgiven that, or you haven't accepted this, and whatever, whatever." That's all negative shit. Fuck you. What I like to say is, man, you've become strong. You gritty. You got the fucking balls to go cross country without a true destination. You just know you don't want to be in that destination. This is a different breed
of
person.
That's exactly how it was.
But that's a different breed of person. Now, the wrong person would be like, yeah, you sound like a fucking hippie. You want to call it that, you know what?
Probably, yeah. Well, I'm still pretty hippie. I like plants.
Free spirited. You're free spirited. You're different.
I love plants. I love gardens. My biggest dream is just to have gardens. Like gardens and gardens and gardens.
So you hit the road and eventually somehow took you to goddamn Miami, where there's very little gardens.
Actually, the first place I stayed was in this campground because I was camping. So once you get to the south, like in the northwest, we have amazing campsites. Like we camp. It's a thing. Like it's beautiful. People do it on the weekends. Like I did it with my dad all the time growing up. Camping sites are a thing. So there's these beautiful places to go and stay. When you start getting in the south, it's not camping. It's not the same. Like in South Florida, camping, it was like a mangrove grove RV park somewhere.
Flat ground, snow hills, very mangroveish, a lot of mosquitoes.
So many mosquitoes.
Yeah.
I got here and I was like, oh, this isn't. The next night I camped on the beach in 79th and Collins. And to this day, that's my favorite place in Miami because I woke up and I went to sleep with warm water and a beach. This was in August, like the first days of August, because I had left in the beginning of July. I left right around 4th of July. And wow. Just every morning, warm beach, wake up, sunrise, pink skies, beach. I was like, this is in the U.S.? And then so many different languages, so many different cultures, so much opportunity. Because for me, too, I had seen a city like Beijing. I had seen somebody be an actress or be something really successful. What life, like how you could live life in a way that was beautiful. And she was a great artist, too. And I wanted a more opportunity like that because in a small town, you can be great. I know a lot more great people from small towns even than I do big towns. But in the city, it seems, especially when you're young, like you have so much more opportunity. So I think I chased that.
And when you're involved in the jiu-jitsu communities, other community as well, just when you're involved in communities, but when you're involved in the jiu-jitsu community, especially if you network, you know, and like you said earlier, you break out of that shell and now you're more, you know, friendly with your peoples. You know how jiu-jitsu just changes you for life. You meet some amazing people and then now you're presented with opportunities. And you mentioned that ended up inspiring you to get into the massage therapy.
Well, I got into massage therapy because I think the logic reason was it was a job I could do while training. Like I could even do massages at the gym. I still can. That's one of my favorite parts of massage is sports massage. Because you can do massage. So basically, you can call it a massage, but you can think of it as you can warm up with your friend in a way, in a partner stretching type of way that can make their performance better. And great sports all know this, like
whether it's
baseball or basketball or NFL, they do partner drills in jiu-jitsu. We're always partner drills. But when you have two people pushing each other, even in a warm-up or a stretch, which is what a massage is I'm partnering to help you stretch your body. I'm not trying to do anything to your body. I'm trying to help you feel your body the best that it feels. So I like a lot of feedback when I'm doing massage. Like I like to take measurements like of extension and contraction of muscles that can show so many things in
their improvements as they get
so
better.
So I got massage because of all that. And in China, massage was very popular. So I knew about it since I was a kid. Like you could get a cold in China and you go to a massage place. They put some hot cups in like TMC, Chinese medicine, and TCM.
You know, I just saw a doctor, one of the doctors that I follow. I can't say.
Dr. Tony is the best acupuncturist in South Florida. If anybody knows Dr. Tony at Acupuncture Zen. Like people should experience Chinese medicine. I learned massage only because I had seen it in Chinese medicine and how effective it is for helping the human body. And I did that.
There's a lot of great support behind that without a doubt. And I haven't experienced it enough. I've only done acupuncture once and I definitely want to do it again. But what I was going to mention was this, one of the doctors that I follow on YouTube had mentioned that even when you have a cold or an infection, a sinus infection, the massages that you can do to your, and he wasn't even referring to anything Chinese, but he was just saying, the different massages that you can do and how it releases your sinuses and so on and so forth. So
how I understand it is Chinese medicine, there's a really good book on it called The Web That Has No Weaver. So I like to think of the human body as the web that has no weaver. Like the even existence, if you want to get really philosophical.
Right, I get it.
But the human body is this web that has no weaver. Like, it's a web. It's a forest. It's an ecosystem. And things can go off in it. But if you balance the ecosystem, everything can still be healthy. Like, you can use one part of, like, a negative and positive yin and yang type of situation, which is how the medicine is based over there, which I always thought was really interesting. And when I think of, even, like you said, like, negative people in life, you almost have to have, like, a plant, right? And I think nature tells us a lot about life. But in plants, you have to have stressors on the plant. If the plant is too comfortable, the fruit isn't as sweet, the weed isn't as good.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have stress. So these negative people that we encounter in life, these negative situations, we almost need them in order to become
the best version of ourselves. Right.
So that's why, like, when people are asshole or bad things happen, I'm like, okay, well, actually, thank you to that thing. Because, wow, it's going to teach me a lot, and it's going to show me something I didn't know I had a hole in, or I needed to improve, or I could improve. Maybe I didn't even know it was a part of life that you could improve on.
There was this book that I read, my favorite book of all time, 33 Strategies of War by Robert Greene. Okay, and I know. Yeah, he's got a bunch of great books.
Did he do the 92?
No, 48 Laws of Power.
48 Laws of Power.
And then he did, what's the sexual one? Not sexual, but, fuck. It'll come up later. Anyhow, one of his strategies in the 33 Strategies of War was, and I know I'm saying it wrong, not accurate, but basically choose an enemy. And then he breaks down why. He says, you have to identify an enemy. And by that, what he means is, don't go fucking starting shit with people because you just want to know. In other words, you need something or somebody to challenge you. Maybe that enemy is the fat on your body, and you need to get it off of you to be healthy. So you're at war with that, and your eating habits, and going to the gym. Maybe the enemy is the your coworker who's gonna get that promotion if you don't work harder and do this. So it's not about an actual enemy. So in other words, he was saying you have to establish a challenge, but the challenge a lot of time has to be identified as somebody. If you just say, man, I need to lose weight, that's not good enough. You got to establish an enemy. Why do you got to lose weight? Where is the enemy at? So I like, you know, that conceptual way of seeing things, so that it brings out a better you.
I think that if you're a warrior type personality, that is true.
But okay, I get it. Okay, right.
There's other people who find the same answers different ways.
Yeah, I just sounded like a fucking Neanderthal ready to go kill some shit.
Like, I think there's the masculine and there's the feminine. Yeah, yes, that is one way, but there's other ways to discover that same truth.
Right.
Same things.
All right. I got another one for you. Look at this one.
Although, to be fair, I in my life have chosen the fight it option so many more times than any. Like, I love to fight it. That's what makes me enjoy jiu-jitsu. Love the fight. I love when they almost catch me and I have to.
Okay, so why should I piggyback that? Now, same thing. Again, it's not about war, people. I'm not trying to get off real physical with it. But one of the other strategies that he spoke about, this one of my favorites, is the death ground strategy, which
death
is based.
Grounds?
Death ground, right. So in other words, put yourself, like, your life is at liberty here unless you give it your all. The closer you can tune in to that type of mind frame.
Yes.
So, and then he goes and says, he quotes a story of when Napoleon was tracking down an army, you know, Napoleon Bonaparte. So he's got 100,000 men. A scout comes back and the scout goes, sir, 10,000 went that way. We can whoop them like nothing, no biggie, but only 1,000 went that way. So for sure, let's go that way and just murk these, you know, 1,000, and then we'll go pick up the 10,000. And Napoleon goes, nah. Let's go kill the 10,000. And the guy goes, but sir, there's only 1,000. That's just 1,000. We have 100,000 people. Let's go kill them, not the 10,000. He goes, see, that's where you got a problem. That's what you don't fail to realize. That 1,000 knows it's going to die. That 1,000 knows there's not a fucking chance in the world that they're going to beat our 100,000. So do you understand the animal that's going to come out of them because they're about to fight for their life? That's a way more dangerous person than these 10,000, where a bunch of them are going to run. They're going to think they can get away. They're going to, you know what I'm saying? I get it. And I love that concept. Put your back against the wall and watch how it brings out the best of you.
That's the only tattoo that I have, is a tattoo that says Malone Labe, which is the story of the 300, the Battle of the 300.
Oh, okay.
And that is my professor's motto, like, at his gym, is Malone Labe, which was the story of King Leonidas and King Xerxes at the Path of the 300. So when you have those 300 men, the 300, they killed thousands of Persians right. for days.
Right.
They were killing Persians for days mm-hmm. rather than die. Mm-hmm. Like that ability in a human to reach that point and keep going and then see what they can make after that, that's the art. That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you see a lot of artists living in that mind, that frequency, whatever you want to
yeah,
call it.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
A lot of artists, fighters, anybody who's really talented at anything, Einstein, all these people are a little bit chaotic.
Right.
Because I think you find that space very close to each other. So there is ways to approach it with peace, like meditation or mm-hmm. silent ways. But a lot of times the easiest way to find that state is just pure chaos and panic.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, like, that's what we're surrounded by.
It could be that rough version, but you can experience every day if you develop these soft practices and if you want to do it by a religious way or not. Prayer, meditation, these practices of breath. I think so much about
that. So you've gotten a little heavy into that as of lately, right? More.
I've been heavy.
Yoga.
I've been heavy on it since I started massage. I think that was in 2016. So I started massage, yoga, meditation, ice baths, all of that world. I started at the same time at a place called Budokan. In Miami, went in 2016. And they were a jiu-jitsu yoga school, which was pretty unique.
So you would definitely encourage people to try. I mean, I know the jiu-jitsu part, people are going to, you know, but at least the yoga, the ice baths, the meditations.
I think all of it is ways to play chess with your own neurons and your brain. No matter what the challenge is, those things that push you to that level, whether it's an ice bath, jiu-jitsu, yoga, any sport that you do at a very high level, any practice, any even like great lawyers or great people that have a lot of mental stress, great teachers, great scientists. I think anything that you choose to be the avenue to get to that, you can get to that level. But at that level, it's a little bit chaotic.
Speaking of chaos and speaking of practice, speaking of, you know, having to overcome shit, you recently went through a horrible fucking accident, injury. You did. We were talking about it earlier and I was cringing. You know, it's fucked up. It sucks. I know we don't want to relive it too tough, but... You know, recently you did great in your tournaments. You've been doing great. You've been kicking ass. You've been going against black belts. I think you've had like about 3 or 4 experiences now as a black belt.
Two fights
as a black belt. And here you are practicing, and an unfortunate thing happens where somebody flatlines on your leg.
If you're gonna do jiu-jitsu, you have to accept that injuries will happen.
Of course.
So out of almost 12 years of getting to practice jiu-jitsu every day, hard wrestling, every stuff, all this stuff.
And you're a feisty
love.
One.
Yeah. I have great training partners like Shannon and different people we met through her, I think, mm-hmm. also.
Yes, I believe so. Yes, like we met through Shannon. Shout out to Shannon.
Shout out to all my training partners who are badasses. Carlitos, the Blind Warrior, all of my training partners at Alpha, like badass jiu-jitsu people. I get to do that thing that I love with people at that level every day for so many years. I got one injury. If you're going to do jiu-jitsu, be okay with that happening at some point.
we're not gonna scare them, but let's tell them though, your shit cracked in fucking half.
Yeah, but here's the thing is that I did have that happen, but again, coming back to like how I live in a way, I don't like to share that information because the more times you tell the story about this thing that broke and this thing that snapped, and the more times you relive that and you make that your reality, that's going to stay your reality. Mm-hmm. The sooner you can be like, okay, but this is actually my reality.
Yep.
These great things. So yeah.
Well said.
It's a jiu-jitsu accident. It happens. Fuck. That hurt. Okay. Let's train. Like as soon as I started.
But you also said, you know, so you have such a great mind frame. And again,
I have a great mind frame because I have great friends.
Well, okay. As well. And we had this talk off camera.
A really good environment.
You connected it, and I'm not trying to take it away from it, but you connected it to some, you know, a godly being of some sort that God blessed you with great friends and this, that, whatever. And I let you say your thing and blah, blah, blah. Eventually I smoothly came and I presented this. And I do believe this, and it's a ginormous compliment to you, and it's a compliment to anybody else who could practice such. You can say it to God, that's fine, that's your belief. My belief is you've been through so much shit in so many different ways. Not bad. I'm talking about just your life, the way it's gone from your dad.
I lived hard. Yeah, I lived
from your from living in that small town to living in the cold to traveling with your dad to having ups and downs with your mom to everything to the kidnapping to seeing young kids in China who are eyeless, armless, and they're this and they're that. Everything has continuously rewired you in a different way. And now you have a certain energy and you're more mature now. You're 31. Now you're making wiser decisions. It's that when you broke your leg, you already had great friends that you didn't know, but they came. They came and they showed that they were great friends. You have great instructors who showed you the support. You also established a business, by the way. Let's talk about what
in this injury, but in Miami, I have established an awesome business. It's called Freedom Move Massage.
And even though this is very horrific, now you get to at least zone in on getting those details ironed out.
I have so many more hours in the day to just focus on massage texts and calls and callbacks, because I would spend so many hours in the gym in jiu-jitsu. I love jiu-jitsu,
right,
but
right.
I would zone out, like no phone, no work. So it's more time to do that thing. And so again, whether it was God or whoever you want to, I want to give credit to God, but I got to do new things now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the next phase is going to be just as beautiful as right. that phase. Because like you said, I think I talked about a theory about a whirlpool. Like if you walk around.
Yes,
in one direction,
it was a great concept. I like it. Say it,
this
please.
Is how I believe the energy works in our lives. If we walk in a one direction in a small pool when we're a kid, like 10, 20 times, you make energy in the water that is pushing you now forward. So it makes walking
exactly.
easier and you go faster and you get, it's really fun. Mm-hmm. And in life, it's the same thing. So if you're choosing whatever you want to say, positive thoughts, or choosing to have thoughts that are close with God, then you're going to start walking one direction. And shit in life, like the broken leg, is going to be thrown at you. But if it gets thrown at you, you already have so much momentum going in the other direction.
Right.
It'll be thrown at you, but most of all of your energy for so long has gone, and you create energy with people too. Mm-hmm. If you have two people doing like a partnership or a relationship, anything, if you have two people going in one direction, you're going to make more energy, more force, more power. And so bad things can happen and you can get right back on track because you have that whirlpool that's already pulling the energy more positively in your life than negatively.
And again, and your mind is so strong. You have this mental fortitude to think like that. And that's great. Most people break and they get down. And
Not the guys who said Malone Labe at the Battle of the 300. Those guys were not afraid. And that's a huge concept for me. Fear and love cannot exist in the same body.
You know, I remember a stupid little story, but I remember it's just the way I am. And I've taught myself to be like this too. I scratched my cornea a while back. And when I did, I knew that I did what I did without being able to verify
it. I broke what I broke.
Yeah, exactly. So I was at the bottom of a pool practicing like if I was spearfishing with my brother because we were going to go spearfishing the next day. And he was like, yo, he's like, hey, try to acclimate, you know, work on your lungs. So I was holding my breath, going back and forth on the pool, just practicing, whatever. And as I was hovering at the bottom of the pool, you know, you do this thing as you when you spearfish and you find this perfect buoyancy where you're not on the ground but right above it. And then you just kind of like kick up a little bit of dirt.
This is advanced spearfishing.
Yeah, my brother's he's a badass. So, and then that attracts little fish to want to see, oh, what got kicked up? And then that'll get the attention of bigger fish.
Cool.
So I'm at the bottom of the pool. I'm at the bottom of the pool doing this, practicing while holding no gun, just imaginary gun, practicing holding my breath. And I did this and a speckle of some fucking little piece of shit rock went into my eye. And I'm like, oh, shit. And the first thing I did was try to rub it out. So when I did that circular rub, I carved a U-turn of a fucking cut in my cornea. So from that point on, up until I saw the ophthalmologist, like it was like a day and a half later, 2 days later, I felt like I had glass floating in there, just chopping up my eyeball. That's what it felt like. And I told myself right away on that first shower when I got home, and I was like, this is bad. Wes, right now, I need you to accept, this is how I talk to myself, I need your punk ass to accept that you just lost vision in your right eye.
Yeah.
And that's life. And from here on out, until we see the doctor, because we don't got insurance, until we see the doctor and we figure this thing out, you are going to be a one-eyed bandit, and you're just going to take it like that, and that's life, you know, and we got to accept it. I'm built different. I've been through some shit, you know. Other people would have probably panicked or this or that. So, you know, we're all different, but that helped me. It helps me think that. Thank goodness my eye was still good and everything else, you know, followed through. I mean, I'm blind as fuck on the right eye, but.
Are you really?
Yeah. If I cut this one off, you're blurry.
Interesting.
This one still has LASIK surgery.
Yeah, the funny part about being a human and in our own body is when we breathe and we connect with our body and God and whatever you want to call it, we can feel what's going on. Like when I have a client that tells me what they're feeling in their body, I trust them. You know, like you probably can feel it, even if you don't know how to describe it. You're in your body,
right?
So
right.
More than any doctor, and there's blood tests and certain things that are obviously harder to feel. But we even have things in our nervous system called nociceptors, which are really interesting when they connect to the human brain. And I would love to nerd out about that kind of stuff at some point.
Oh, that's I love
where,
that stuff. Yeah.
That's where Wim Hof breathing comes in. That's where the ice baths play a part.
Yeah.
But our whole body is designed for ourselves to feel imbalances.
Are you ice bathing every day or almost?
Ice bathed a lot. Currently, I can't go in the water. Oh, that's
right. You can't. Yeah,
because I ice bathed all the time. I did an ice bath the day before I broke this. But I like ice baths so much. They're great.
I have not. I've only done one. I did it with Gus, by the way, that one time. But
I never did an ice bath, but I grew up in Oregon and Northern California. And so we have mountains. And when the snow melts in like May and April in the spring, the rivers start flowing from snow. And the ice, the water would be so cold. But as a teenager and a kid, I loved jumping. And as soon as I saw the rivers go from frozen to moving, I was like, oh, shit, today is the day. And you jump in there and you go, you take the biggest breath of your life, which I cannot tell you enough. If you want to find health, if you want to find balance.
Breathing exercise, yeah.
Like, start doing breath work. Start praying, however you want to do it. Because a lot of Christians won't say that breath work is prayer. And I think that there's a difference in the concept of them. But they're very similar. And praying is great. And if that's how you do it, do it. But for sure, when you pray, you're not going.
Right.
Not disorganized breathing.
What's up, you crazy people out there? Let me interrupt this podcast really quick just to give you a reminder. If you really like the gear that I'm rocking and you're a proud Black Sheep yourself, make sure you go check out blacksheepapparel.shop where you can get all the dopest gear to help remind the world that you truly are a proud Black Sheep. We got caps, t-shirts, tank tops, shorts, sweaters, hoodies. I mean, you name it, we got it on there. Make sure you go show some love, show your support, and represent what you really are. Go to blacksheepapparel.shop. Now back to the podcast. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. And by the way, on that note, man, I know you really just did that off the top of your own head. Thank you. But I do want to tell everybody out there listening, I just hit 3,000 subscribers. I couldn't be happier. It's been a long fucking road, and I do it because I love it, man. I love conversations with people. I love interesting people. I love unique Black Sheeps of the world, you know, who have black stories.
Black sheep.
Yeah, you know, so, and it's just fun to do this with the right people. We're talking about the energies and how people bless each other and the people you've met in jiu-jitsu and all that. So, you know, again, to the subscribers and the listeners, thank you. I love you guys so much. We're at 3,000 right now. Still the beginning. We got a lot to go, but thank you. Spread the word. Keep telling your people. Sheree, you got this badass injury, so you're going to go through, you know, hella therapy, I'm assuming 10 months to a year.
Not hella, but, you know, enough.
Well, you know.
I know really good sports therapists, though, so I'm actually kind of excited. This is a case study in sports medicine. It's just attached to my leg.
What do you see going forward? This is difficult. You have a great attitude. Do you see yourself getting back on the mats? I mean, you're a black belt now, but this can fuck with somebody's head. I know you're going to get back on the mats, but do you see it, or do you sometimes think, yeah, I'll get back, but I don't know if I want to, you know, really go that deep into it now.
As far as if we're talking just how much have I visualized being back on the mats training with my friends? 1,000 times.
Right.
I've been sitting here trying not to visualize it, because if I visualize it too much, I'm going to miss it. But right now, I just have to visualize the PT. I want to get more into calisthenics, because I can right now. Like, my arms, upper body, pull-ups. Okay. Like, I have a lot of other stuff physically that I need to focus on until I can think about going all the way back to what it was to be competitive and at a black belt level. But I think jiu-jitsu cardio is the best, and swimming is the second best. And I know I'm going to swim a lot. Like, already, as soon as this cast comes off and, like, the stitches heal, ocean swimming.
That's some of the best fucking workouts. So, it's so awesome. Yeah, and you connect, too. You really connect.
You're breathing. Back to breath. Like, you're breathing. What is swimming? Swimming is counting breaths and strokes. Because I swam a little bit on a little swim team in my hometown, my mom said I had to choose between swimming and riding horses, and I chose horses. But I had a little bit of swim team experience, and I loved swimming. I loved just the exercise of it.
You ever gotten into scuba diving, snorkeling, any of that? I know I was mentioning spearfishing earlier.
I've done it. Like, I've just kind of gone out and done it. Back in Mount Shasta, we have lakes, and we have this really beautiful Shasta Lake. And I used to swim across it all the time, just back and forth. Like, that was a thing to do for me, because there wasn't a lot to do in Mount Shasta. And any lakes that we had. I didn't ever swim in the super big one that was near Redding, because it was really dirty. But the ones in Mount Shasta were clean, and the ones in Oregon were clean. So swimming was just amazing for me since ever.
Did your dad ever get you into hunting? You said he was a hunter. You did?
Yeah, I really like hunting and fishing, actually.
Still to this day?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's dope. We got to go fishing one day. I haven't been hunting forever.
Technique about how to scoop dirt off the scuba flippers. Yeah. I was like, oh, this guy is a high level scuba fisher.
Yeah.
So I have gone spearfishing in the Bahamas and stuff just randomly. Somebody's like, hey, hold the bag. Hey, hold this. I'm like, okay. So I've gone and I've done a lot of not a lot, but I've started shrimping more off the bridges because you just literally throw a net.
Be patient.
You got shrimp.
It's true. What?
Pounds of shrimp.
That's true, especially when they're running. Yep.
I'm not a vegan, but I do think that, like I explained to you earlier, like I think that we're so much more connected to nature than we talk about. And the fact that we all the mammals have the same bones and different structures. We're all like the same type of model of a car, but in different, Porsche, but different models.
Right, right. Different engines.
Yeah, but we have the same blueprints. We have lungs, we have respiratory systems, we have blood vessels, we have five phalanges. Sometimes it's a wing, sometimes it's a fin, sometimes it's a hand, sometimes it's a hoof. But we have this blueprint that was designed by someone and then just propagated the whole of this planet. And it's really interesting to me.
Speaking of hoofs, do you guys have moose over there?
I've seen moose in Oregon. Hell yeah, they're big.
Sheree, I just fucking saw. I just saw a video. I've never seen a moose this big.
They're big.
A guy was driving next to a neighbor's house. He's not in the buck wild woods. He's in a neighborhood. But obviously, this is somewhere like your type neighborhoods
or
whatever.
Oregon had a ton of deer.
I've never seen nothing this big. It had to stand. The top of his head. Forget the fucking the top of his head had to be. Almost 9 feet. 9 feet. The top of his head. Then the fucking...
That seems a bit of an exaggeration.
I'm trying to tell you, I'll pull it up if I had a Jamie. Jamie, pull it up. Jamie, pull it up. I don't have a Jamie right now.
You gotta get a Jamie.
We're gonna get a Jamie. I remember when Gus used to be Jamie. Gus was my Jamie for a little bit.
Gus
there.
Gus was my favorite back in the training partner.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure. A little fucker. I wish him the best.
We were talking about that earlier, which is another reason I'm not complaining about this injury. Because it was a wrestling injury, and I love wrestling. I'd give up the injury another time. Got to have wrestled for that many years with people like Gus. Gus was a better training partner. That's why I never got an injury.
Yeah.
But sometimes you train with people and they make mistakes.
It happens. I know you don't want to be a dead horse. It happens. It is what it is. We got to get past it. I know. And a guy didn't mean
but
to.
I'm glad I did it to get that many years of good wrestling. I would give it up again. Wrestling is more fun than.
Now that you're zoned in on your business and everything, definitely don't want to forget about that. How is it that people can reach out and find you for your business? Do you have a business page site or anything like that?
Mostly it's free to move on Instagram. And
on Instagram, reach out to you.
And you can get my phone number if you message that. If you are a client in Miami, I'm also on Google. Like all of the platforms to find massage therapists, pretty much.
And you, Danny, and you
free
won't
to move.
You won't be able to massage again at least for another, month or two?
Monday? I think next Monday.
You can stand on a boot.
I don't know if I'll stand, but they have really good chairs that you can wheel around and do a massage. Like I've learned how to do. I'm very varied in how I enjoy giving massages. Like I wish we would spend more of the podcast talking about massage, just because to me, besides jiu-jitsu, that's the most interesting part of my life, is like this understanding of the human body and then using it as a business to help people. It's super fun.
Do you tend to talk to your clients into any kind of holistic way of being or thinking when you do this, so that they connect more with it? Or are you just, depending on your relationship with them, you just have friendly talk and just do your part?
To be honest, if it's my client, like it's really a client, I try not to talk.
Okay.
I try to listen.
Okay.
Like, I'm not trying to recommend anything yet. I'm trying to just listen to what they're saying. And I'm trying to, even more importantly, I'm trying to get them to listen to themselves. I've had really big clients.
I like how you put that,
I've said that to a client before a massage, like a very, very fancy client at the Satay. We're in like the penthouse. He's sitting with his friends before the massage. And he's like, yeah, she's here to fix me. She's going to fix me up. I was like, actually, I have no intention of doing that. I'm just trying to help you understand yourself better. And he like stopped and we were all in front of his friends. And they all just like, that's a good way to approach clients, in my opinion. That's how I approach my clients. I'm like, I don't want to fix you. I don't want to understand even. I don't need to. I don't even, because I'm not a doctor. I don't have any medical license. I can't advise you on anything. I can point you in directions. And luckily, I've built a great network where if I feel like a client could use a physical therapist or an acupuncturist, or even like they need their blood work done because maybe I think they have a vitamin imbalance, I can tell them, here, go to talk to this person.
Right.
And that's what's cool about doing business in one place for a really long time, is I think anybody who's been an entrepreneur consistently in Miami for the last 8 years or 10 years, we all know each other because we've all been doing the same thing. We've all been hustling
for years
to make this happen. And now we're here, and it's pretty cool.
It is really cool, you know, and it's great to see how far you come. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. You saw the podcast when it was at the old house and with the dogs and with Gus.
I was a big fan of the dogs.
Yeah.
Podcasts, I didn't even know that much, but I loved your dogs early on. Dogs are great.
Yeah, and like I told you, I met you when you were a blue belt, and you were talking about you were hoping to become purple before you left wherever you were from.
Shit. I was talking shit.
And now look at you.
I was a blue belt going, I think I should be a purple belt.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
I was being a little cocky shit.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Shannon was saying the same thing, but I know Shannon had a lot of confidence in her game, too, because even though...
Shannon is way better than I, actually. She was so physical.
She's just a fucking little beast with her physicality, man.
No, it's not even that. Shannon's always been wildly technical.
Yeah, as well? Yeah.
Yeah, Shannon is strong. She lifts. She's done the due diligence that it takes to have... In any sport, you can be a weak athlete or you can be a strong one. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple to tell who's going to be what. Because there's people who do this stuff and then there's people who don't. So she's always taken the steps to be a strong athlete, but she's also super talented and technical and smart. She uses her jiu-jitsu in an intelligent way in a fight. Just cool. And I love training with partners like that.
That's awesome. Yeah. You guys were always homegirls on that tip. And you were trained together. I know that she outgrew a lot of the other girls. I know some of those girls watched the podcast and I got mad love for them. I was one of their first instructors back in the days. But I'm just being honest. Shannon had a better learning curve in many different ways at some point.
In my opinion, it's not that she's better than any other girl that's done jiu-jitsu, because I think all girls should do jiu-jitsu. Like when I come
say back, it again
I think all girls should do jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
And when I come back and I can't be the super competitor in the first 12 months, my jiu-jitsu, the time that I spend on the mat, isn't going to be any less valuable.
Right.
So whether you're training to be a high level competitor like Shannon or me or all the people who are even better than us, there's tons of people better than us and we're just good in our like neck of the woods, so you never want to be the best person in the room. But
exactly,
I don't think that the level at which you do jiu-jitsu dictates the value it has in each person's life. And I think a huge part about jiu-jitsu, the sport is great, love the sport, I love to compete, big on knowing the technique, big on understanding the sport, but the best part is the mentorships, the friendships, the life that you get to live with people, the understandings that you get that you only can get through somebody else knowing you about yourself.
Yeah.
There's so much cool stuff.
You know, I think that's a great way to remind people, this is why you hear jiu-jitsu is life. It's because it goes so much further than just that grappling aspect and the technical aspect. It
the
really
value
goes.
Value of your jiu-jitsu is not how.
Yeah, it's the bonds that you grow. Yeah. It's everything that comes with it. Pushing each
Why
other to the brain.
80-year-olds do jiu-jitsu.
How you know there's those small things.
Neuroplasticity.
What is a sunny day without the rain? What is joy without pain? What value does something have if it's so easily attained? You know, things like that.
You're a poet.
Yeah, I almost rhymed that, huh? I didn't mean to.
You rhymed three times in a row.
Yeah, that did come around.
I love art.
By the way, you
poetry.
Said you write poetry and you I say do. You write it daily. Why aren't you posting this? You don't
do.
Post you what?
I post it
on your Freedom Move page? No.
Not on the business page, but I post on different pages my poetry. I've posted for years poetry. I love poetry. But it's not something I advertise because I don't wanna publish anything until I like have a book, basically.
Okay. I have a friend who just published one not that long ago.
I
think you should.
I want to write a book with my dad so bad.
Really?
I talked to him when he was here about that a lot. Yeah.
That'd be an awesome joint venture right there.
I want to.
Have you a little idea on the structure and what you want to do?
There's this. He was my. I was homeschooled for a long time, so he was one of my reading teachers, obviously. And he did a lot of C.S. Lewis, and he had a book called The Screwtape Letters, which it's two demons, and they're an uncle and a nephew demon. And they're talking to each other back and forth about the happenings of each day in this human's life. Okay, so that's a little messed up idea, but I really like the idea of two people writing letters to each other and that being a book.
Oh,
I've always
okay.
thought that was fascinating. It's like a podcast almost. Like I'm saying a concept in its totality, and then you're coming back with another total concept. But in a book scenario,
uh-huh.
or it's a letter scenario, you can edit. We could really craft a concept. So I want to go over topics like religion, like life and death, like sexuality, like health, like...
I fucking love it, like, dude. This is a great idea.
I'm trying to get my dad to agree to it. This is hopefully...
He won't have to jump out of bounds. He gets to put his real input. All right, Dad, I'm going to send you...
And again,
you know.
What I noticed when he was here, watching him interact with my friends, his interactions with them were so valuable. They were so beautiful. They were so sweet. So giving a book that would give... Like, okay, my opinion's cool, but like also his opinion being recorded as somebody who lived so much of life and who learned so much... who studied and who lived in a way that is really admirable. Like him getting to put that out there, I think would help thousands of people.
On that note, really quick,
huge
shout outs. I was gonna say I don't think they get enough shout outs. No, I know they don't. Huge shout out to all the great dads out there who do not get enough praise. You don't. But you don't hear this type of, you know, positive talk about your old man and the way you do it. You're just doing it organically. You're not trying to have a, you know, I'm just going to talk about my dad moment. No, well, it's just naturally just coming out, you know.
He also just came to see me, so I'm like.
Oh, that's true, too. But regardless.
Fresh off the dad boat.
Fellas, when you're a good dad, look how far it comes, you know. And when you're a good dad, look how it's spoken up, you know, in front of other people. It's a big deal. You guys, I just want to remind the good dads out there, you're awesome. Keep doing it. Those who you think are falling short, step it up a little bit because it has a big impact. And I think you're just showing it right now. I think it's dope. I don't see or hear women talking about awesome dads ever or often enough. Instead, what I'm fucking hearing all the time is men ain't shit. We don't need men in this world. This whole feminist movement, I'm hearing the complete opposite. I hate it. So to see this, you know, even if it came because you broke your leg and your dad's visiting, you've been talking about your dad since we were talking. So it's just dope. Yeah. Good for you and cheers to him, you know?
And like, I would encourage the women around me to also, even if it's not the dad, talk good about some man in your life. Like,
yes,
whoever it is,
please.
even if it's not your relationship, maybe you picked a bad one and maybe he turned into a bad one. Whoever knows how it goes. But choose to be around men who, when you talk about them, you can smile and you can talk good about them. Don't choose to spend time around men, I would say to women, do not spend time around men who, when you have to talk about them, it hurts. Mm-hmm. Talk about the men in your life and spend time with the men in your life. Whoever, it might be an old guy down at the coffee shop on Tuesday mornings because he gets his coffee. But every time you talk to him, he tells you a cool story about his daughter and he lights up and he has coffee with you.
Not only that, find
good men. Yeah. And let those be the men in your life. Let the other ones alone.
Let me add a little side thing to that.
Let the other ones alone.
I mean, you're right about that 100%, but I want to add this. You and I have been talking about the power of repetition. We talked about it earlier. We talked about it throughout the podcast. Every rep, every attempt will make you pick up a bad habit or a good habit. You'll be strengthening or you'll be weakening, but every repetition is going in one direction to make something more grounded in you, okay, whether positive or negative. So with that said,
it comes under science of the brain. It's myelin sheaths around.
Yeah, there you go. That's another great way of putting it.
I love science. Yeah.
Well, if you fucking put those repetitions into always talking negative about anything, it goes back to the energy. It goes back to the law of attraction. It goes back to the fucking swirl that you were talking about where you run around that pool. If you decide to stop and turn around, guess what? You got that negative shit coming right at you because you started that whirlpool and here comes a negative. Just because you stop doesn't mean it's going to stop.
So
don't talk it into existence. We know there's shitty people out there. I'm not talking bad about women every chance I got, even though I know there's a bunch of bitches and hoes and this and that, but I feel like women don't do that enough for men and we're in a bad spot. We are in a bad spot. Against women, we're in a bad spot as men. Like, yo, y'all trying to act like you don't need us. Do you understand that we got us here? We're like, as in what men had to do in wars and building projects, stuff like that. We get it that it's been certain, you know, misunderstood quarrels between us and where the woman's place is. No, I'm all about women empowerment, 1,000%. But let's not take the masculinity out of men and make it seem like men ain't worth the fuck. And remember to praise all good people, especially good men, who are good fathers. That's my main point, you know?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to forgiveness. I think gratitude, we talk about a lot in life. We're like, oh, you should be really grateful, blah, blah, blah. And gratitude is one of the best virtues. But forgiveness is a virtue too. And whether you want to talk about it religiously or non-religiously, the ability for women or anybody, when people harm them, to forgive that person allows them to go through life with a totally different energy. Like, you can take that fuck that person energy and turn it, when you forgive, when you play forgiveness in that card, like you're dealt cards in life, and somebody plays an asshole, and you deal a forgiveness, you trump it.
Right.
And you just keep going. And so forgiveness for women, because I've had to forgive my share of asshole men, but forgiving them is a medicine. It's good for you. It feels good. And it makes you able to do that to more people around you. And when people feel, one, not pressured to do something that's going to be considered right or wrong, and two, when they feel like they have the opportunity forgiveness, people act in beautiful ways. That's when I think the art of life starts to come more into play.
And by the way, learning how to forgive is very difficult. There can be a skill to that.
Life is hard. Choose your hard. Marriage is hard. Single is hard. Being fat is hard. Being skinny is hard. You know how they say all that? Choose your hard.
Right.
Choose your hard. Forgiveness is hard, but so is hate.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, right? Like, I don't. You know, as you were saying, you're saying the whole forgive thing, right? And I dig it. And I know from what side you're coming. I've always been one to say, man, I don't know what forgiveness really is. Can you really forgive, or are you forgetting? Are you really forgetting? Because you never forget. Are you just overlooking? Is it really forgiveness, or is it overlooking? I don't know how to word it. It is, right? But what I want to say is, forget about giving it. Make the decision that makes the most sense to bring the most positivity back into your life. If holding a grudge and not overlooking, whether you want to call it forgetting, forgiving, or overlooking, if holding a grudge and not trying to overlook something that happened, a negative occurrence, or somebody's flaws, if you can't do that, it's going to cause more harm than good.
For you.
For everybody, I think. Yeah. But that's why, for you, exactly. So it's better to, whether you call it forgive, forget, or move on, it's better to move on. It's better to find a way around that for the good. There's better good from that. And it's just, we need to teach each other how to do that. Not everybody knows. And every situation is different. Yours is different. There's a lot of forgiveness that you can do, you know. Three of those forgivenesses are in a van riding around somewhere. You know what I mean?
It was only two of them, but I was the third.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, as far as I remember, it was two. Thank God it was two. Maybe if it was more, they would have fought me.
Yeah. But, you know, nonetheless, Sheree, that's great advice. It really is. And I really want to thank you for coming on the podcast. You have brought a very joyful energy. I love what we were talking before, getting to know each other, you know, big time, a lot of details that we kept to ourselves. But it was a great conversation. And again, you know, throughout the podcast, you've been a lot of fun, a lot of great. Thank you for sharing your story. I want to remind people.
Thank you for sharing it for me.
Yeah, trying to help you through it a little bit, you know.
You said it more clearly than I would have.
That's why I'm glad we spoke earlier. Guys, make sure you go show some support, man. Follow Sheree at Free to Move, as in FreeToMove. Free to Move.
Underscore.
On Instagram, man. She's an awesome chick. She's got a lot of great things going for her. Awesome business. Definitely, if you want to get some dope-ass massage therapy from her or her peoples. Or her people. Right,
people,
exactly.
Great. The team is,
she's got a team she's great. Building. Let's show some support. If you know anybody who needs a great massage therapist, show some support, follow her, and do all that good stuff. And I want to see you back on the mats. I know it'll be a while, but I can't wait for that.
At least until the boot comes off 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. Slowly but surely with the right people. That's the way to do it. Yeah.
And I think I have plenty of those.
Awesome.
Just don't roll with new spazzy blue belts.
Fucking blue belts. Guys, thank you for tuning in again. I appreciate it. We hit 3,000 subscribers. If you guys want to get some merch, please go to blacksheepapparel.shop. Thank you for all the support. We'll see you on the next one. Sheree, appreciate you, girl.
Thank you.